Hey there, you're welcome to Founders Connect, a show where I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in Africa. This is the right show for you to be listening to if you love behind-the-scenes stories about people, their careers, and not their businesses. My name is PC Timmy, and I'm very, very, very delighted to be your host. You can follow this conversation on social media, hashtag Founders Connect. You can watch the video of each episode on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect on YouTube to find the playlist. Also, please share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, leave a rating, and you know, share it, hashtag Founders Connect. Enjoy the episode. Today I'm in Nairobi. I'm so excited. It's my first time in Kenya. And in the next couple of videos, I'm going to be interviewing founders and operators of startups here in Nairobi. Now, my very first person I'm interviewing, her name is Florence, and she's the regional marketing manager of Yellow Card. Yellow Card is one of the most amazing crypto companies in Africa. And she manages the whole of East Africa. That's Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda, exactly. And I'm really excited. Why? Because one, I want to interview more women on this show. Two, I'm interviewing someone who's also a marketing person and who has risen to like a regional marketing manager level, and I think that's really amazing. So I'm excited for you to hear her story and also hear more about what Yellow Card is doing. So stay and watch this video to the end. Now, let's meet Florence. Hi, Florence.
Hi.
How you doing?
How are you? Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for agreeing to do this with me. I'm very excited to hear your
story. Happy to, and welcome to Nairobi.
Thank you.
Asante sana.
Asante. Yeah, that's thank you, Swahili. Okay, so let's get right to it. Just tell me about yourself, like growing up, your background. I like to just know about like where you come from, because that gives me a bit of like understanding your essence. So anything you can share about your childhood, growing up, your early days of school.
So I'm Kenyan, born and raised. I grew up in up country, what we call shags in Kenya. Just basically means you're not born and bred in Nairobi.
Right.
I think I had a very typical Kenyan childhood growing up. I think a lot of people, you know, you go to school, you live up country, you know, everybody. Sometimes even go to school barefoot. So I didn't really know that there was much outside of how we lived. And then when I grew up and I got to maybe like 8, 9, that's when I came to Nairobi to visit my relatives and our cool cousins.
And cool cousins.
The cool ones. And then you get exposed to a whole different world. Television, for example. I don't think I watched TV growing up. That wasn't a thing
that's
for
interesting.
Us. Yeah, that wasn't a thing for us. Probably only spoke English after my primary school, or Swahili for that matter. So that's how I grew up. And then once we discovered, you know, Nairobi, and you go to high school and university, the rest is history.
Awesome. So tell me about university. What did you study?
I studied journalism, so print. So because we grew up reading, so your next thing is writing. So I think I didn't know what I wanted to be when I went to school, to be honest. And I think in Kenyan school system, there's always the question, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Everywhere,
it was
even
doctor,
engineer,
pilot, lawyer, and teachers. And the rest of us
teachers was a theme here.
Oh, it was a theme there, And I think we say teachers just to make the teachers happy. I don't know. But I think when all those things were said, there used to be, nothing feels right for me at that time. But when you're a kid, you don't understand. When I went to secondary school, I was like, there has to be something else. I fell in love with English. And I think that just became like the books, and used to study the dictionary. Like every time I'd be like, what is this word? What is the word for the day that I'd try and, you know,
so at what point,
learn and use it.
Yes, sir. At what point did you then move from like pursuing a career in journalism to marketing? What was that?
After college, I got a job with NTV. That's like a leading television TV in the country.
Yeah.
And I did it for a couple of months, but then I was like, this also doesn't feel natural. But I said, you know, I left and I got an internship as a social media intern at an NGO or some sort of a startup. And I think after that, I was like, okay, I think I've found it. This is what I want to do, creating content, running websites. I just have had a natural knack for it. So I started and here I am.
Yeah. So, I mean, before Yellow Card, what would you say? Because you have an extensive career. I'm looking through your LinkedIn. I'm seeing like 12 different, like 15 different experiences. So which of them would you say have been like the key milestones? Like, oh, this job was very critical to the person I've become in this my role at this point.
I think it's my first proper job at an e-commerce platform that was called Drupal in Kenya. That was the first e-commerce startup or company in Kenya and in Africa, because it expanded. And it's now what even has become like Pulse. Pulse is everywhere. So that's where, because I joined in as a customer service person. So that's when I was able to grow. They gave me the opportunity.
So you went from social media intern.
I went to social media intern. I got my first job as a customer service rep at a startup. And the good thing with startups is they allow you to work yourself up. So I became, again, social media community manager at Rupu, extended to Ringe, and then by the time I was leaving 4 years in, I was the marketing lead for Ringe.
How long did you spend at Ringe?
I was there for 4 years.
Right, so were you part of like, because I know Ringe in Nigeria also manages Pulse. Yes. So was that kind of what you were doing, or it was the agency side of?
I was doing the e-commerce and the class. So the e-commerce was rupu.co.kenya. Right. It has now shut down. And then also PGME, which is still in existence, and then it's a classified platform. The rest came after. I think like, for example, Pulse Kenya was born out of Rupu when Rupu shut down.
What would you say was the most important lesson that you learned in Ringe?
Patience. The good old patience. Because I spent four years in a startup is a long time.
Yeah.
Because every day already feels like 7 years.
Yeah.
But I think I had like a very clear vision of what I wanted to do by the time I left Ringe. And I had to kind of consistently work at it, starting from the customer service to social media to performance marketing manager, and then all the way to leading the team. So every day I had to remind myself, there's a bigger goal we're working towards, and I kind of had to be patient and earn my way up the corporate ladder, if I may call it.
That makes sense. So why did you finally leave Ringe? Was it that you like, I've done 4 years here, I've played my time, or there was a better offer? What was the?
I think my former manager at the time opened like an agency, and I needed a break after 4 years. So he said, do you mind coming in and being a consultant for me? It was a good opportunity to build a team, especially a digital strategy or digital marketing team at the agency. So I jumped ship, and in a year I was like, okay, I'm ready to go back to formal employment.
Yeah, and where did you go? Was that when you moved to
That's when I moved to Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about Microsoft and leaving Microsoft for another startup.
I know.
Because, I mean, Microsoft is one of the biggest companies in the world, and you get in and...
I know. I think that it still shocks me that I say I worked for Microsoft. I mean, for a girl who didn't grow up knowing what they wanted to be, and to end up there still shocks me, to be honest. But I joined Microsoft maybe 4 years ago as a social media manager for the East Africa region. The whole East Africa region, but then also that with time that expanded to maybe 75 countries. So I was working across Middle East and Africa with a team of maybe 15 people. So it used to be called, it is still the Social Media Command Center. I think it's one of the greatest social media team or outfits that exists, in my opinion. So to be able to work, it's just how, because Microsoft is a big brand, right? And there are ways you do things. And we are a remote company at the time. We're working from different companies across the world, across the world. People you'd never really met outside of, you know, the laptop. But for us to be able to gel and achieve what we were able to achieve, I think it's just it was an amazing part of my career, and I think that has really shaped me too.
What are you taking out of your experience from Microsoft, or what have you taken out of that experience?
It's possible. Anything is possible. Mm. Anything is really possible. I think you're told to, you know, have a picture in your mind of where you want to be. But I think there's room for, if you're diligent and if you do your job, right, and you keep an open mind, anything is possible. And say yes. Even when you're scared, just say yes. Because I said, when I was interviewing for the role, I was scared shitless.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. I was super scared and I was very intimidated. But I think there was that thought at the back of my mind that there's just people like you. Go for it.
Yeah. I really, really like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my question, why did you leave? Why did you leave Microsoft? Why did you join Yellow Card? What was it about the company that made you say, yeah, I think I want to try this at this time in my career?
I think I always want to make sure that whatever area of life I'm in, I'm growing. I think growth and transformation is very big for me, and it's a key motivation for anything I do. So at Microsoft, I felt that I'd almost sort of hit the ceiling and I couldn't see the next step beyond. Mm. And I really also wanted to move from just social to just overall integrated marketing.
Right.
The thing is, with startups, there's a bit of grace for you to learn and to grow. So when the Yellow Card team approached me, it was tough because it's also a crypto company. Mm. And we all know what, you know, what people think about crypto. And I was like, this is the next big thing. So there's an opportunity here for me to dig in, learn about crypto, and also just, you know, make some important things happen. So that was a motivation. I talked to the team, they were very fun. I believed in the mission and the work that they're doing. I was like, I want to be a part of this.
Tell me about this mission. What is, for people who don't know, what does Yellow Card do? And, you know, just a bit about the company, really, or the product.
So we are a crypto exchange. Basically, we allow people in Africa to be able to buy and sell crypto. And I think what's important to me is, even like, our mission is financial inclusion for all. Mm-hmm. I think, forget about crypto. Like, it's just money. The basics of money it's not very accessible to everybody in Africa. A lot of people don't even know how to budget, mm-hmm. right? You're too busy making money and making ends meet. You don't know that, hey, maybe if I treated money differently or I understood it differently, there are other opportunities out for me. So we're very focused on making sure that people, you know, like, educating them about money, how you can make it, how can use it, how you can invest it, and also that obviously falls within crypto as well.
Makes sense. So how many countries in Africa does Yellow Card operate in? How many cryptocurrencies, how many users? Share some fancy numbers for us.
Okay, so we are currently in 15 countries
in
across,
Africa.
Across the continent. Among them, obviously, the East Africa region, SADC, West Africa. We are everywhere, and our mission is we would like to grow in the next couple of years to every country in Africa. We have three coins or cryptocurrencies at the moment, so Bitcoin, USDT, Tether, about a million users across the continent, and we're really working hard to make sure that number keeps growing.
That's very sexy. Yeah. I know that you guys raised some money, I think, a couple months ago.
Yes, we recently, mid last year, we raised 15 million, our Series A. One of our investors was Jack Dorsey.
That's dope.
It's a stamp of approval in a sense. I think it's important for us to continue to do the work we're doing, and obviously money is a big part of that. We are now at 150 employees, all majority of them Africans. I think maybe only the founders and a few more people are American, but the rest of us is African. So we're building a really African or local company. That's very, very excited.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Tell me about what being the regional marketing manager for East Africa. You're managing like four countries, right?
Yes.
Five. What does that look like? What's your day-to-day like? What's the work?
I think the title is more fancy than the work. So not as glamorous as it sounds. It is a startup, and it basically means being able to figure out how do we keep growing the company in terms of users that use our platform, but also transact. Come onto the platform and transact. But more importantly, educating people about crypto. I think that takes the biggest part of my role, just creating awareness. We have to figure out how do we break crypto into, dumb it down almost. And I'm not crypto native. I don't know if that's I've just coined that term. But I'm learning. So I use myself as the use case. I'm like, how can I break crypto to myself to understand it? So I think being able, my job is making everybody, especially in my markets, in East Africa, to understand the crypto and the opportunities that it presents.
Yeah, tell me about the complexities or the challenges or the uniqueness, whatever the word would be, of the East African market. So, I mean, I grew up in Nigeria, so I'm very familiar with like the West African market, with Nigeria market, but like, I'm just wondering, like, what does it mean to like be a marketing person in East Africa? What are the nuances that you typically have to bring into your work on a day-to-day?
I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think skepticism, especially when it comes to crypto, Kenyans and East Africans in general don't just do something because you tell to them to, you know? Yeah. There are also ways you can speak to them, right? I think the East Africans in general like to know that we are represented, we feel heard and understood. Like, for example, I can't make content in Kenya and then take that content and use it in Uganda.
Right.
Somebody will be very quick to say, why is a Kenyan selling anything to me, right? And they should ask those questions. So it's making sure that is what you're doing local enough.
Right, so localization and representation.
Localization is and representation. And we always want to see ourselves in, you know, whatever it is, the content we are consuming. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing, and also understanding that, because I think once you put the countries in one class and say that's East Africa, a lot of people just imagine that we are all the same, we eat the same food, we speak this. No, even one country, like for example Kenya, we have 42 tribes, or we have people who live in different towns or parts of Nairobi. You cannot speak to them the same way you speak to everybody else. So I think that's the toughest thing, but also the most exciting thing, when you get to create content in Kenya, Rwanda, in Rwanda, and you see how people receive that. When you get to go to Uganda and you use the local people on the ground, I think it's exciting, it's challenging, I will not lie, but it's interesting.
That's very good. Thank you for that, Iles. I just stole some tips for me on how to market to the East African market. Just learning about your career, one of the things I've seen is that you've moved roles a lot, right?
Yeah.
Starting from social, then customer service, then back to when you were at Ringia, doing like a lot of different things, like performance marketing and integrated and branding. And you went to Microsoft and you went back to social. And now, I think from what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, your role is a lot of education on content and campaigns, and maybe not very heavy on like performance marketing on social anymore.
Yeah.
So like, as a marketing person, and just this experience, what would you say has been what has made it easy for you to be able to move across different roles or have different skill set that comes in handy when you're in a particular job?
I think there's a lot that goes into that. One, there has to be an internal draw or a self drive, like this is what I want to do, and you kind of have to work up for it and show up for it. But also people, right? So I don't think I'd be where I am today if my former bosses and my current bosses don't believe in me and open the doors. So I think those would be two things. It's me wanting to grow and communicating that to whoever is able to open that opportunity, and then them being willing to say, I see what you've done here, and I believe you're sweet. Like, for example, my current role, I remember when I interviewed with it, because yes, they find you on LinkedIn, but then you still have to interview.
Of course.
I wasn't convinced at all. But then the CMO, John, the Yellow Card CMO is John. I think he said, let me just get on a call with you. And I'm still very hesitant, but once we got on the call, I was like, you know what, I'm sold. Because he was able to say, because I went from regional social media manager to regional marketing manager.
Right.
So he must have believed in my abilities or capabilities to do the job, right? Not many people would give you that opportunity.
It's true.
Not many people will give you that. So it's people, but also yourself. Yeah.
So self-drive, but also just speaking up and just hoping. Because I can't say be with the right people. Sometimes you have to just hope and pray that, you know, the companies that you work with and people that you work with.
Yeah, you have to leave some room for faith.
Leave some room for faith. That's a very good way to say it.
Yeah.
So earlier you spoke about, when you were speaking about what Yellow Card does and how it's a crypto exchange, one of the things you mentioned is that you guys are very particular about financial inclusion and you also talk about money. But money aside as the other currencies, how are you helping more people understand crypto?
I think we're trying to first of all change the narrative about crypto or around crypto through education, right? We have a learning portal or platform called Yellow Card Academy. Anybody can go there. We don't require you to do anything other than just go, you know, search Yellow Card Academy, and you can get enough resources to educate yourself, whether you're a beginner or a bit advanced in your crypto journey. So it's available for free resources that anybody can access and learn about crypto. Make an informed decision before you start dealing with it. We're also really, like, for example, I think just 2 weeks ago we launched billboards, the first ones in the country. It was a bit scary,
but, I can imagine.
but we have to be bold. We have to be bold, and also we're now even on radio, right? Just sensitizing people and informing and educating people about crypto. Like, number one, it's not illegal. It's not a scam. Like, we exist. We are a proper company. Faces behind it. And I think that's... And we've seen, like, the reception around that. People are very curious and interested and getting on board. So the only missing link is there was no one bold enough to go ahead and have the conversation openly. So as Yellow Card, we've decided, you know, let's do that, not just in Kenya, but across the continent. Yes, and make it mainstream. Yes.
Very,
I mean,
nice.
There's a long way to go, but somebody has, we have to start. Yeah.
That's amazing. So I have two final questions for you, and I'll ask both. I think I said just before the interview that I'm really excited. One of the reasons why I'm excited to have this conversation is with you, because you're a woman and I'm biased, and I say that with my chest because, I mean, look at me. But it's also because, I mean, I've done at least 40 of these videos, and just knowing that, obviously there's my path of the work, which is actively looking for and reaching out to women, but also just knowing that in the sea of actually searching for and finding out, there's a lot more men in the industry, and I'm talking tech in general. I'm not just talking tech or crypto. What would be your advice to more women? Because one of the things that I know now is that even as we tell more stories and people do really great work and people see you do your work and people, you know, look at different crypto companies, they're raising money and they check your profiles and see, oh, some women are working there. More women, more females are getting interested in tech. But they also don't know what's waiting for them. So for someone who's a woman and wants to build a career in tech, especially as a marketer, and I say this especially because, when people think tech, they think developers and they think product designers, and I've had to fight and struggle and just be very deliberate about my visibility for people to take me seriously as a marketer, to take marketing talent. So for women who are not just for students, so I want to build a career in tech, but there's, I'm passionate about marketing and I know there's a place for marketing. How do I then, you know, pursue this marketing career in tech? If you have any advice for them at all.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because marketing is also looked at as a soft women thing to do, right? But then you go into meetings or to conversations and then it's full of men. And you're like, oh, I thought it was a women thing. We kind of also have to change about the conversation around some of these careers. For example, marketing. It's not, if you're not a woman in STEM, I don't think people get as much recognition or credit, because even in fintech or in tech in general, and you know, as an ex-Microsoft, the conversation is always women in STEM, right? Mm-hmm. And it's okay to encourage, you know, girls to get into sciences and tech and all that. But also there are other things that you do, but they don't make you less of a person. Doesn't mean they require less drive and work and or you're less ambitious. But what I would say is, especially for us who now are there, pay it backwards, right? Look back, reach out to somebody, put yourself out there, because we're very shy also to, as women, sometimes to just, or maybe we're intimidated, or we feel like it's not our space to have these conversations and brag about what you've done.
Yeah.
But if you're bold enough to brag or talk about what you've done, somebody else is watching. I think when I started in RUP, it's interesting because as I met some friends there, today they are the managing directors of, you know, car companies, and not small companies, they're the product managers of, you know, big tech companies. And we kind of surrounded ourselves with each other and have like monthly meetings where we encourage ourselves and say, keep going. Even if the room is full of men, just stand up, raise your hand. Eventually, the walls break and you won't notice as much. I'm just off attending the Africa Tech Summit, where there's yellow card, and you will see a lot of men. You will see a lot of men, but I think the number of women, because this is probably my third to attend, I'm seeing a lot more women than I have. And they're driving the conversations, they're building companies, they're doing amazing work. But when you see them and you talk to them, you get a bit more inspired and get more bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've learned a lot from this conversation.
I'm glad.
I would try to reiterate some of the things that really stuck. I think the first one was talking about patience.
Yes.
And just like, regardless of how far you've come or whether you're just starting, like, to be the career that you love, patience is required to grow and, you know, to do great stuff. Patience is required. It's also to talk about just being bold in your strategies and bold and say, hey, we want to take this mainstream, we want to get these users. And sometimes you just have to do risky stuff. That's stuff people have never done before.
Yes.
That's really brilliant. Also to talk about just how you put on localization and representation is in African markets, especially where you can't just put everybody together, say, well, you're Africans, you know, just markets for all of us, or it's all East African together. But it's also just the last thing that you said, where you just mentioned for women, it's also about community and being able to reach out and say, hey, there are more people who I can help and I can support and I can mentor them. And there are other people who are my peers that we can come together and just encourage ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we sit in rooms where there are more men, it can get scary.
It is scary.
Yeah, but we can, you know, to say, I'm here.
Hey.
And the more you do that, the bolder you get and the more comfortable. The more room you make for other women to get in there.
I think it's Michelle Obama who says, just bring a seat for yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Like, no way to be given a seat, just bring it, sit on it. And it might be uncomfortable in the beginning, but eventually you're like, yeah, I belong here.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much. This was a
very
lovely conversation.
Thank you for having us. This is amazing. I hope we speak to you soon again.
Yes, same here. So guys, I'll put the link for Yellow Card in the description below. Go download them if you're interested in crypto. If you're interested in learning about crypto, check out the academy.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast to the end. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have been inspired or motivated to get better in your careers, in your businesses, in your life. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the videos on my YouTube channel at PCTimi, or just search for Founders Connect and you'll find the playlist and then subscribe to the channel. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Leave a rating also so more people can find it, and also talk about the episode that you listen to. #FoundersConnect across social media. Hey, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.